Thank you for joining this episode of Orion's From the Battlefield to the Boardroom podcast. I'm Megan Ralston, your host, and today we're wrapping up our interview preparation series by talking about frequently asked interview questions related to sales positions. As always, we'd love to hear from you, so if you have any questions or feedback about this podcast, please send us an email at podcast@orioninternational.com. Sales interviews can be tricky for military job seekers because it doesn't easily translate from what you did in the military. Our guest today is David Coe, Senior Vice President of Strategic Programs at Orion, and he's going to talk us through some ways to overcome and excel in this type of interview. Hi, David. Welcome to the show today. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hi, Megan. Thanks for having me on the show today. Sure, my background is pretty similar to a lot of the executives that are here at Orion International. I'm a former Marine Corps officer. Served in the U.S. Marine Corps in the infantry community for about 6.5 years, including a tour to Iraq back in 2003. And as I was transitioning out of the Marine Corps at the end of 2003, beginning of 2004, I started work with Orion. So the rest is history. I've been here for a little over 13 years now and have had a great experience as being part of our company.
That's great. Thanks. So like you, a lot of our candidates do not have any experience when it comes to sales. A lot of times when they're transitioning, there will be a role that maybe seems a little bit more applicable to what they did in the military, whether it's a technical role, engineering, operations, something like that. So with sales, these interview questions can be a little bit trickier because it's something that they might not have any real life experience in. So I'm going to ask you some of the frequently asked interview questions, and then if you could just use your expertise to give us some advice on some of these.
Sure.
So one question I think that would be probably at the top of any interview list, especially without having experience in sales, is why are you interested in sales? So why would an employer ask that? What are they really wanting to know when they ask this question?
No, that's a good way to start because when you're a transitioning military job seeker, whether you're coming from the enlisted or the officer community, and my background actually includes service on both sides. I was an enlisted Marine and then became a commissioned officer as well. There are a lot of great jobs out there across a variety of industries that are terrific for transitioning service members that happen to be part of the sales community. And many transitioning veterans are interested in sales for a variety of reasons. Probably the number one reason is compensation, because sales jobs typically provide the fastest gateway or the fastest path to greater money and larger salaries than any other job family that's out there. Another reason a lot of military candidates are typically interested in sales is that oftentimes a sales career includes a lot of autonomy. You're on your own, you're able to set your own schedules, you're driving your own results, and you're creating your own deliverables. And as long as you're hitting those things and doing what it is that your company is asking you to do from a production and a revenue standpoint, they're going to generally leave you alone. And so it has been for a long, long time a general career track that many veterans are interested in. The question of why are you interested in sales is a pretty common, we'll call it 101 level question that most employers that are hiring for mid to lower level sales positions are always going to ask. And the main thing that they're trying to uncover is personality traits and, in general, homework and preparation that a candidate has done to become ready for a career in sales. In other words, if I am interviewing a sales candidate who we're potentially thinking of hiring here at Orion, I want to know whether that individual is just focused on money, just focused on being a lone wolf out on his or her own doing their own thing, or if they actually feel and have done enough homework to understand that their track in the military and what they did from a job standpoint as well as their personality match up well with sales. So there's no right or wrong answer to this question, is the long story short. You know, I'm a sales executive. I've been in sales for over 13 years. And I lead sales and delivery now for one of the largest, fastest growing divisions within Orion. And if I were interviewing somebody and asking them this question today, there wouldn't be a particular right or wrong answer to the question. And I think that's important for candidates to understand. What we're really looking to find out and what an employer really wants to know is, How well have you really tried to understand the reality of a career in sales? How well do you think your current background and experience has prepared you for a career in sales? And what are the unknowns as well about a career in sales that you're at least aware of and that you're still comfortable moving into it with those unknowns being out there? Ways that you can really be prepared to answer this question as best as you can are, like with most questions that we recommend you follow in the STAR format, have a couple of real life examples or points in your background that enable you to relate some experiences that you've had to a sales capacity. A lot of times, folks coming directly from active duty aren't sure how to do this. You know, hey, I haven't sold anything in the military. I was a platoon commander or a division officer or an aviator or whatever the case may be. It doesn't matter. If you've ever had to sell an idea, if you've ever had to convince subordinates to follow orders or to follow a process or a plan that maybe didn't look like it was that well thought out, I know most people on active duty have been through that at one time or another. Any conceptual type sale you've ever had to do can still qualify for this. So that's one way to respond to it. Another way is to also use it as an opportunity to kind of go beyond the introduction, you know, the common tell me about yourself type question that will most often start off an interview with, you know, a chance to actually expand upon that and showcase your background that translates well into the sales community.
Yeah, those are all really good points. So you did mention homework. In addition to the STAR format and preparing for the interview, kind of bringing up and tucking away those good examples that you could bring up later on in the interview, is there any other homework that you did to prepare for a sales interview, whether that's reading specific books or any other kind of research that you did?
Good question. Yes and no. So there is some homework if you're preparing for a sales interview that's going to be applicable and apply and be uniform across the board, right? And what I mean by that is, in general, having a desire to go out and drive results, produce, be a hunter, you know, the general kind of generic traits that an employer looks for in a salesperson. You should be able to demonstrate and talk about what you've done, the experiences you've had that demonstrate that that's who you are today. But what you can do beyond that to become a little bit more prepared, and as you said, Megan, to do your homework a little bit, is just treat each individual sales interview with what I call going beyond the website preparation. For example, if you're interviewing for a sales position with a medical device company, it could be a company that makes knees, shoulder joints, heart valves, you name it, any true actual medical device. And you're going to go in and try to land a sales job there selling one of those products. Being able to talk about the different product lines, the divisions inside that company, what information you've seen online about their career track for sales reps, and then knowing a little bit about the industry itself, even if you're not necessarily correct in your assumptions, shows that you're actually willing to do some basic market research, some basic data gathering, and that you're starting to approach the concept of selling those medical device products to a customer base through preparation. Good salespeople always do that. They're not just out door knocking and barking up the wrong tree trying to get somebody to buy a replacement knee joint, and they're not talking to the right potential customer at all. So being able to try to project yourself into what a day in the life for that type of sales rep might be like, and talking about basic market conditions that you've been able to uncover, general information about that company's product line, who their potential customers could be, and then trying to project how you would actually go out and try to sell that product to that customer. Again, even if you're totally off base and wrong, does show that you've at least thought about this. You've tried to do a systematic approach to getting ready to go do it. And it demonstrates that you're at least thinking ahead a little bit. And if you're given the right type of training, the right leads material, and the right demographic info on who your customers are, you're probably going to be able to go out and be successful. And that's what would be most important to see for an employer.
Yeah, I think that's great advice. So kind of moving away to the things that you would want to avoid when you're answering this question. I know we've talked a little bit about making sure that you highlight your skills from the military and any time that you had to sell anything, even an idea, to somebody else. So is there anything that you would recommend a candidate staying away from when they answer this question?
As far as answering the question around trying to sell an idea to someone in the military or to another individual?
Just in terms of why are you interested? So if I'm trying to sell myself as being good at sales and kind of I've already done my homework, is there anything that we should avoid? Something that would maybe make an employer think this person's not ready or they're not right for a sales role?
I think in general, the only thing to really avoid, with answering questions about an entry level or a sales role like this, and typically, you know, these questions are more first interview type questions, right? Mm-hmm. They're questions that are going to occur on the front end of that interview process for a sales candidate. What's always good to avoid are, number one, making assumption type statements. I know this, I've found this to be true. I am aware of this. I know that you guys are doing X, Y, and Z. When you make those big, bold, declarative statements that you're sure are true, but you actually don't know if they're true because you're not already working inside that company, you're still making an assumption. And by doing that, you can actually give the employer or the interviewer the impression that you already think you know everything and that you don't have as much capacity to learn, or that you're frankly just uneducated and unaware. Mm-hmm. So I would always try to avoid those types of large scale assumption type statements. I think it's also always good to avoid talking about things that you're not interested in, meaning I'm really interested in selling medical devices, but if you have openings in this other division of your company that sells a pharmaceutical product, I don't want to learn anything about that. Oftentimes, job seekers, and this doesn't just apply to salespeople or candidates that are trying to get a career in sales, people very regularly have made up their minds before they even get into an interview that there's only a certain type of company in a certain industry and even a certain job inside that company that they're interested in. And frankly, most of the time, they don't know. They don't know what they don't know about that employer. They don't really understand the reality of a certain sales job that they might be applying for. And there could be another terrific type of sales role or even an operations role that actually they might be a better fit for. And that employer is gradually starting to develop this attitude and this belief and this mindset that, hey, this candidate could be a terrific match for this job over here. But the candidate keeps over and over again telling us they're not interested in that. Mm-hmm. Your goal in an interview like this is simply to get through this interview and get to the next one, because typically in sales, you'll have several interviews before you're hired. You're going to do at least one or two over the phone or through a virtual platform. You're probably doing a couple in person. You may have to do a ride along with an existing sales rep or a site visit with a sales rep, depending on the industry you're interviewing with. And you want to keep as many doors open as you can the entire way through that process, not only because you're demonstrating to that employer that you're open-minded, you're eager to learn, and you just want to become part of an organization and help them win. But frankly, you're also going to become a better candidate throughout that process because you may learn things. So that's probably my one big point to avoid, in addition to the assumption type statements, is, you know, boxing yourself out of other opportunities by declaring interest only in one particular line of work or job. And it's easy to get sucked into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the next question that I have, and it's another frequently asked interview question, although I feel like you've already kind of covered it in previous answers, is just, what have you done to prepare for a sales position? So I think you already touched on this, the research, the homework. Is there anything else that you think that it's important for candidates to say? So of course, they've already done that research and they've done their homework, but anything that you think would help them in an interview to at least drive that point home and maybe get that point across to the manager?
No, because I think anybody that's a fair and a legitimate and a real interviewer is going to be satisfied with that, mm-hmm. right? You got to keep in mind, they've already reviewed your resume. They may have looked at transcripts or service records. They may have talked to a recruiter if you're using a recruiter, and they should have a decent background already beginning to be formed in their mind on whether or not you're a qualified candidate. If on top of all of that, you've also done some, you know, like I said earlier, beyond the website research and tried to formulate some preparation for the position, that should be enough.
Okay.
There is a limit to how prepared you can be, you know, going into a first interview like this.
Got it. I think the beyond the website is a good takeaway for this interview and preparing for a sales interview. So another thing that we've touched on a little bit already is just describing times that you've had to sell an idea to someone, whether it's in the military or if you've had a previous role, maybe that wasn't in sales, but at some point everyone's had to sell an idea to somebody. So if you were to give a candidate some coaching and advice on how to answer this question, are there any types of scenarios that you would say that they should focus on, or what do you have any advice on this one?
Yeah. Now, similar to what I said earlier, Megan, always use a real life example for this as much as you can. Even if you don't think that it's a, you know, a total grand slam, there's limitations, right? If you're coming directly off of active duty, of what you can actually talk about having done in the military that looks like and actually is sales. So the more real life examples that you can share, the better. Again, the examples I used earlier of maybe talking about a time when you as a manager or a leader in the military had to carry out orders that you didn't originate, that weren't great orders, but you still had to go convince those that you're leading that this is what we're going to go do and why. And a good leader still works hard to pass that idea off as their own and doesn't, you know, play the blame game and pass the buck and say, well, my boss said we have to go do this. I think it's horrible. Let's go do it anyway. That's not good leadership. Mm-hmm. You still have to be willing to get behind those maybe not so ideal ideas and back them up, right? So those types of examples are always great to use. I think, again, anytime you can use a real life example and have it be something where you're selling an idea, you're selling a concept, or you're selling just a decision to commit to something to a group or an individual is probably a great way to go to answer that question. And just keep in mind, the interviewer is going to have to recognize, you know, that there are some limitations on what you could have actually sold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So going back to your example that you just gave about carrying out orders and, you know, selling ideas, another thing that we talk about a lot in sales interview is just the concept of facing and overcoming resistance and adversity, because obviously that's something that you'll deal with on a daily basis if you go into a sales role. But I know it's something that you also face on a daily basis in the military. So any advice on good examples to give on a question like this?
Sure. Facing resistance or overcoming resistance is very, very important, because in sales, it's going to happen to you every single day. We call it objections. You're going to have to overcome objections all the time. And no matter how good of a salesperson you are or how great your product is or how attractively it's priced, inevitably you're going to run into somebody that doesn't want to buy it and isn't convinced by you to buy it. And you have to find a way to work around that. Again, in the sake of an interview, or for the sake of an interview, for the sake of this interview, what the interviewer or the employer is really looking for here is to see how you work to overcome an objection. It's actually not even necessarily about whether or not you were successful in overcoming the objection. It's about what did you do and what was your process that you followed in your mind or otherwise to try to overcome it. What types of questions did you ask? How did you begin to take the person who was resisting you or the group that was resisting you and begin to isolate their reasons for resisting you? You know, what is it that's causing them to say no? And if you're able to demonstrate a way that you were able to outline their reasons for saying no, and then in turn show the correlating response that you gave back to each one of those individual no's to try to help change them, that's what's key. Because that's how you overcome objections in sales. We always encourage our young sales reps to view objections not as reasons that a potential customer is saying no to you. They're actually just questions that the customer has before they're willing to say yes. If it's price, what is it about the price that's causing them to say no to you about the price? And if we change the price to X, Y, or Z, is that a reason then to say yes? Is it delivery? Same thing. Something about the delivery isn't working for them. So if we modify our delivery into X, Y, or Z, Does that enable them to say yes? That's the key thing to always keep in mind in sales when it comes to objections. It's really not someone saying no to you. They're just asking a question or posing a question that's preventing them from saying yes. And so the more you can demonstrate that, again, through real life examples, the better off you'll be.
Okay, great. So our last question would be something that would maybe be a little bit catch someone off guard if a hiring manager were to ask you, sell me this pen or some other object in the room. Has that been something that you've ever been asked? And what do you think that an employer would want to know when they ask this question?
Sure. I think that the whole sell me this pen question is an example of one of a number of, I'll call them bad interview questions that are out there. It seems kind of silly and it doesn't seem to really relate to the task at hand. You know, what we're actually doing here is you're interviewing me trying to decide if I'm a good enough potential sales candidate for you to move me forward in the interview process. And frankly, I'm also trying to understand and decide whether or not I'm even interested in your company and this job. You could almost say the same thing about the, hey, where do you see yourself in 5 years type question that you get in a lot of first interviews, because really nobody knows where they're going to be in 5 years. We all might have goals. We might have ideas. We might have dreams of where we want to be in 5 years, but there are very few people out there that actually have a lockdown airtight plan of exactly where they're going to be in 5 years and how they're going to get there. What you need to remember and understand about the sell me this pen question is that it's not really about whether or not you can get somebody to buy a pen. It's about what your approach is to selling a product. What they're wanting to see from you is, what are the ways that you're going to gather information from that potential customer that would enable you to know, yes, this guy or gal is actually going to be interested in buying this pen from me. How do you respond to that information as you're gathering it? You know, if we're sitting next to each other, Megan, and you say, hey, David, sell me this pen. One of my first questions might be, well, Megan, you know, tell me about your note-taking habits or your day-to-day job. Do you have to write a lot of things down, or do you use a lot of keyboard, or what do you do? And I'll gradually start to chip away and understand how much of your day is spent using something that you write with by hand rather than just typing something into a keyboard. As I gather that information from you, the way I respond back to you and help frame it is important. And it's really about the way I'm delivering that information back to you that you're giving to me. So if you tell me, well, on a daily basis, I probably am only spending about an hour total writing notes to myself. Most of the time I'm doing work on a keyboard, but I'm jotting notes down on a pad of paper next to my keyboard, and then I'll transpose those into an actual keyboard note at some point down the road. I may then come back to you on that and say, well, that's great, because the pen that I've got happens to be, you know, a Bic Gelocity, and it's a push button. So if you're only using it intermittently throughout the day, it never dries out. It's quick and easy to write with. It's clear. It doesn't smear and it doesn't bleed. And so even if you're just haphazardly jotting notes down throughout the day to yourself, this is probably the best pen that you can find on the market, because it works well with your writing habits and it's going to give you a good, clear, legible writing on the back end that you can transpose into your notes. What I'd like to ask you now, Megan, is there any reason why you wouldn't want to have a steady supply of this pen available, you know, knowing that you're not sure when and where and how you're going to have to take notes, right? And that's called the close, right? That's an example of trying to close somebody on something. All I really want to see as an interviewer, if I'm asking you to truly try to sell me a pen in an interview, is I want to see your brain and your creative mind take me through those three or four general steps, or you might call them sales skills, to see the way your brain works, right? You're getting information from the potential customer, you're responding to it, you're delivering a solution back, or at least the beginning of a solution back, and then you're actually asking for something on the back end of that. You know, hey, is there any reason, Megan, why you wouldn't want to have a steady supply of these pens around, right? That's kind of a soft close, but I'm still asking you for something on the back end. I'm not just conceptually trying to talk you through something. So I would kind of keep that in mind. Remember, if you get questions like this, whether it's the pen question, the five-year question, the, you know, what would you do if you're CEO tomorrow type question, and they're impossible to answer a right way or a wrong way, just remember, they're not unlike objections in the sales cycle itself. there are ways that that interviewer just wants to understand how your brain works and to see if you've at least, even in the most basic sense, got a creative approach to trying to gather information and then package it up back to a potential customer and get them to be able to buy something from you.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice. And I know you mentioned earlier, I believe it was on the first question, why are you interested in sales? That a lot of times there's really not a right or wrong answer. And I know this seems to be one of those questions where it is that way. I think your advice on this one was great, because I think your immediate instinct would be to get caught up in trying to think of an elevator pitch for a pen. So I think there's always nerves involved in interviews and different things that could maybe throw you off a little bit if you were asked a question like this, or even the ones that you just mentioned. So I think your advice is great. So I think, of course, above all else, maybe try to stay calm so that you can think of these examples and not get too flustered or thrown off when you're asked these questions.
Yeah, the one thing I would probably tell you on that note, you know, in general, you asked me some questions earlier about preparing for the sales interview, preparing for this, preparing for that. Rehearsal is really the key. You know, so we've talked about four or five general questions that are likely to occur in this type of sales interview. The more you can rehearse the way you're going to respond to these types of questions, the more comfortable you become as a candidate talking about points in your background, the more used to the oddball or the somewhat ambiguous question like the pen sale question or any others, you're just going to be a better interviewer overall. Because what it's going to allow you to really do as a candidate is come into that interview feeling comfortable and confident in your ability to have a dialogue and really interact with that interviewer. That's what this is all about, especially in a sales interview. It's about rapport. And I mean that because you could sit down with me today and spit out the most perfectly worded answers to every single question that I ask you. If you do it with a robotic stare on your face and a monotone voice and I don't feel any physical connection to you, I'm not going to hire you, because no one wants to buy from a robot. And the way you avoid becoming a robot, especially in an interview, is through rehearsal and having a high level of confidence. It's just like hitting a baseball. The best hitters in the majors are guys that are the most comfortable because they've taken a ton of at-bats and a lot of batting practice, and they know when they get up to the plate, they're pretty well prepared to face that pitcher and probably deliver some sort of good result. The same is true in this type of interview. So rehearse, 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 and it will actually help you out on the back end.
So practice, practice, and more practice is basically your parting words of wisdom.
That's key.
Okay. Well, David, thanks very much for your time today. I think this has been super helpful. Anything else that you want to say?
No, thanks for the time and good luck.
Thanks, David.